Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Trinity Baptist Temple Church Sermons Podcast. At Trinity, we're not just a building. We're a church that teaches the truth, provides fun and safe ministries for our kids and youth, develops relationships by connecting in weekly small groups, hosts loving community events, and more. We love sincerely, connect deeply, and reach sacrificially. Today's sermon will be led by our youth pastor, Jeffrey
Well,
Holt.
Good morning, and thank you for being here this Resurrection Sunday, and our members, all of our guests this morning, we just want to say welcome and thank you for being here. Members, thank you for being in your place. Guests, thank you for visiting with us, and if you need anything during the service, after the service, please go back there in the back, see someone in the welcome center, someone in the back. They'll be able to help you, and this morning, if you have your Bibles, you turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, and as you're turning there, I want to say it's already been a great weekend to celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, we have a lot of different ministries, a lot of things going on here at our church. And one of our largest ministries is actually our Christian school. And it's awesome opportunity for the mission field to just enter through the doors sometimes. And so starting Thursday morning, we had our first ever Easter brunch at our school. And it went great. And we were able to preach the gospel and share the good news to a bunch of people who have never heard it before, but an opportunity there, and to the students again as well. And then, of course, Friday night, we had our night of worship, and I think we need to take just a moment to say thank you to those who pour in to the ministry of our worship and our tech team. And so this morning, let's just thank them. They put in so much work this week to get all of that ready for Friday night and then be back here for Sunday morning. It's just such a blessing to have these that pour in. And so it's been a great weekend thus far, and I'm looking forward to today, looking forward to this time together and time to go out and spend with family afterwards. And just excited to be in the house of the Lord, excited to see what God has for us in his word this morning. And so, like I said, if you had your Bibles, you'd turn there to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5 here. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and it says, "And you were dead in your offenses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the counsel of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all previously lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." What a tremendous scripture. What a tremendous picture here this morning of our resurrected Savior. He came forth from that grave, and then this picture here in scripture of coming from death to life. I want to say this morning, because Jesus rose again, dead things don't have to stay dead. Because Jesus rose again, dead things do not have to stay dead. And we know that the people who place their faith and trust in him, we just read it, they're made alive. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, isn't just another day that we show up and we say, I'm here, I'm gonna turn over a new leaf, I'm gonna make things right again. I do feel like sometimes people almost feel like it's a religious New Year's or something along those lines, but no, this day is about God raising something completely from the dead. We don't set this day aside for, again, some kind of self-help because we're going through something and we need to come in and get our Jesus fix for a day. It's not a day set aside because God's like, you know what, you Christians, y'all had Christmas a few months ago and y'all have already forgotten me. So I need to throw an Easter in here a few months later. So it's not some sort of modification behavior for us Christians. No, we set this time aside to focus on the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You know, every other religion that I've ever studied has this simple message: try harder or be better. But Jesus, this day that we're celebrating right here, Christianity, it says, come alive. Come alive. It's a different message than any other one out there. And so this morning, as we go through this, I want you to remember that this thought that something's been brought forth from death to life, and we get to celebrate it. We set aside this day to focus, to remember, to rejoice in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Yeah, if you have your notes there this morning, we're going to start off with point number one. We were truly dead. Before I do that, though, I do want to enter into some time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity this weekend to celebrate you all weekend, to have great things happening in our ministries. And I left one out. I forgot about our kids' ministry. Our kids' ministry celebrating, our youth coming together Friday night. I left out a couple, but there's just so much happening. So excited to be together this weekend and to come together and to celebrate and rejoice and remember what you've done. And as we're doing that here this morning, I pray that you would just bless in a tremendous way. Even as we go through this study, your word, and we try to glean the things from it, I pray that we can take some things this morning and apply them to our lives. I pray that we can take some things this morning and be challenged to go out and to preach this resurrected Savior, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that you would help us to prepare our hearts now for what we're about to receive. Make us ready. Help us to clear out the distractions, to clear out the noise. We have so much in our lives, and God, we need this time. We need this time with you. So I pray that we're ready, we're prepared. We're blessed now as we continue to open up your word as we dive into these things this morning. And I pray that you would give us what we need here this morning and we pour out what you deserve. We love you and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, point number one this morning, we were truly dead. We read it a while ago in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read it again, but there was a very clear picture here in Ephesians, and I think God was writing about me when he was writing there in Ephesians chapter 2. He's writing about who I used to be before I was made alive in Jesus Christ. He's writing about me. He's writing about my life. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. That was me. He says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. That was me. I was running after the devil. I don't mean to make a pun on a song, but I was literally running after him. Spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. And those of you here this morning who've given your life to Jesus Christ, I imagine you were saying, yeah, that's me too. That's exactly who I was. I was a child of wrath. I was running after the prince and power of this air. I was a son of disobedience. I was running after my flesh. I was indulging myself in the lust. I was running after the things that pleased me more than the things of God. And most importantly, out of all of that, I was dead. I didn't even know I was dead. And then someone preached Jesus Christ. And I was like, I need this man in my life. I need this Savior in my life. This may sound simple and simplistic this morning, but dead means dead. When he says here in Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead, we were dead. We weren't sick. We weren't struggling. We weren't not mostly good. No, we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. Literally, before someone knows Jesus Christ, they are spiritually dead. That means there is no life towards God, no life that will lead towards God if they don't know Jesus Christ, before we know Jesus Christ. And that's why there's such an urgency. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. That's why we share the good news of Jesus Christ, because they are dead. We were dead. Dead means dead. Literally no life toward God at all. And I think back to my old life. I think back to who I used to be before I was made new. And I think back after the things I was running after and the desires, and I can tell you it wasn't for God. It wasn't for any of this. It's exactly what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2. No life towards God. No desire to fulfill his will or to do his good works or good works unto him. In Romans chapter 3 in verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Again, we live in a world where there's so many other ideas and so many other things out there. Try harder, be better, do this. Get these certain tasks in order and then you'll reach this certain level. And if you do this, then you'll enter into this place. No, there is none good, no, not one. We are all useless. These words here are true. Isaiah chapter 6, 64 verse 6, it says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like filthy garments. And all of us wither like the leaf. And our iniquities like the wind have take us away. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, when you were dead. Dead means dead. In your transgressions, in your transgression of the law, in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgression. Most of us have a thing that we carry around in our pocket, a cellular pocket device, a phone, whatever you want to call it. And we take this phone and we use it daily, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad, sometimes indifferent, sometimes just mindless scrolling. But every once in a while, you forget to charge it. Or if you're like my wife, you forget to charge it a lot. And as a matter of fact, I had to go scramble up a charger for her last night for another car because her car was dead. I don't know. We're one of those weirdos that drives an electric vehicle. I apologize. That's okay. I have a big diesel truck too, so I make up for it. Like, it balances out. It's all good. I'm not that much of a hippie. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Anyways, but her car was dead, her phone was dead, everything's dead. And so I get her in a different car, I get her charger. It's that dreaded 1%. It's that thing where you know, or if you have that old ghetto phone and it's like, man, mine dies at 12%. I had one of those one time. I know how it is. And then all of a sudden it dies. It's dead. It's not coming back to life. Doesn't respond. It doesn't move. It doesn't improve itself, just sitting there being dead. pick it up and we'd try to mash the power button, thinking it might come back on for a second and let us complete that last task or send that next text or find that direction to where we need to be going, but it doesn't work. As a matter of fact, we could take that phone and, well, we could clean it up and make it look all pretty. We could, I tell my son when he drives an old truck and I tell him when it doesn't start, did you talk to it, sweet? Did you go out there and talk nice to it? He say, come on, baby, I need you to start this morning. I'm being nice to you. We can talk real sweet to our phone. We can surround it with the perfect environment, the ideal temperature for operating that phone. We can do all of those things, but it's still going to be dead. Until something on the outside brings life to it. Until we plug it in, it's going to stay dead. Listen, that was us without Jesus Christ. Not just bad people trying to get better like so many other religions say. We were dead people needing life. And Jesus came and said, I am this life. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Here's the deal. This is the diagnosis. The diagnosis is that everyone apart from Jesus Christ is dead. Apart from Jesus Christ, everyone is dead. Then if that's the case, if that's the diagnosis that we are dead apart from Jesus Christ, then what this day represents, what this day is that we celebrate each and every year, it isn't just, again, some helpful day. It is absolutely essential. Because this day, the resurrection day, is the thing that sets Jesus Christ apart from anyone else who's ever claimed to be God. Because he's not dead, he's alive. Hallelujah. Point number two this morning, Jesus did what we could not. Jesus did what we could not. Again, we read it there in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 4. But God. We were this way. We were these sons of disobedience. We were these who were just running after the lust of our flesh. We were those who were operating and moving in the power and the obedience of the devil, let's be honest. And but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, because he loved us, even when we were dead, he loved me in my worst. We read these scriptures and we think, that was me, that's who I was. And yet Jesus showed up in the worst of the worst, in the midst of my transgressions. And he makes us alive together with Christ Jesus by grace. Are you saved? And I love those two words there, but God. Quite possibly the greatest two words in all of the Bible, some would argue. You see, because there's some things that we can't do, but God can do. We can't fix ourselves, but God can. We can't earn our salvation, but God has already paid the price. We can't clean ourselves up, but God can wash us and make us white as snow. So Jesus came and he lived that life that we couldn't. He lived that perfect sinless life that none of us can, because we're all sinners. We already read it this morning. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And then he died the death that we deserve because we are sinners, because of what we just read this morning in Ephesians and how wicked and evil we are. And he died that death that we deserve. And then he rose again in victory. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came, he lived that sinless life, he died on that cross, he shed his blood, and that blood is the payment for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and in this day that we celebrate, 3 days later, he rose again in victory. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, I know you're dead. I know you're dead people, but I've come to bring life. I am the life, and the only way you can get it is through me. You're dead in your sins, but I'm dying for you so that you might live. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, He made him who knew no sin, the sinless Savior, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. He died that death that we should have died, and he bore our sins on his shoulders. To be sin on our behalf. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God. I said a while ago, we can't clean ourselves up, but he can. His blood is that covering. His blood is that thing that washes us whiter than snow. His blood is what makes us be viewed by God as righteousness. It's all through him. And then John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus was speaking to a woman here and he said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Amen. Jesus Christ has done something that none of us can. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. We can't clean ourselves up. We can't fix ourselves with all the schemes of this world, but Jesus can. I think it was last week I asked y'all to picture something in your mind with me, and I'm going to ask you to do it again. I think last week I asked you to picture a man clinging to a rock in an ocean. Well, let's go back to that same ocean, but this time the rock's not there. And I want you to picture kind of a beautiful beach setting here with a lifeguard tower, and people are out, frolicking in the ocean water there. That sounds like a good word, frolicking, playing, tossing ball. I don't know what they're doing. They're doing something in the ocean, but one man gets a little too far out. And the lifeguard's kind of on alert. He sees what's happening. He's already kind of his dander's up a little bit. He's getting prepared, and then he sees him drift out a little further and a little further. By this time, the lifeguard is standing on the tower and looking and saying, this isn't good. I need to spring into action. And then he sees it. He sees the panic on this man that's too far out in the ocean, and the current has started to get to him. And so the lifeguard springs into action, and he runs and he jumps in the water and he starts making his way there. And all the while he's keeping his eyes affixed on this man who's struggling in the water. But then all of a sudden, just before he gets to him, all of the up and down out of the water, all of the waving of the arms, all of the gasping for air, it all ceases. And just before he makes it to the man goes under the water. He had taken in too much water. He had taken in too, his lungs were too filled, and he was unconscious. As the rescuer got there, the lifeguard got there, he dove under the water and he happened to grasp his arm. And he pulls him up out of the water and he gets him up and out of the water and onto the shore and he begins to perform CPR and he revives that man. Now, it's just a picture, it's just a made up story, but that lifeguard, he didn't just assist in that rescue. No, that man was saved because that person stepped in. That person was saved because he stepped in. He would have died if that man hadn't have stepped in, if that man hadn't have grasped him from that water, from that dark depth of the ocean. He would have died in that place. And yet this lifeguard steps in. Listen, this isn't some picture of help. This isn't some picture of some self-help. It's a picture of salvation. That's what we're talking about here this morning. So we're building this picture clearly too towards this God. This isn't a God helping good people to be better, as I said a while ago. This is a God who's raising dead people back to life. This is a God who's done something none of us can do. This is our God and our King. Point number three this morning. New life changes everything. New life changes everything. I want to deviate from our verse we've been studying this morning in Ephesians and go over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. New life changes everything. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. And I want to say this, church, resurrection, because Jesus was resurrected and because he offers this resurrection for us, it wasn't just something that happened back there for Jesus. Not something that it is something that's going to happen one day, the resurrected bodies, but resurrection is something that can happen right now. And if you're here today and you've never experienced this thing that changes everything, this Jesus that changes it all, this Jesus that says you are dead and now you can be made alive, I want to tell you that resurrection for your life is today. It can be today. You see, new life changes everything. And you can talk to anyone in this room, any person who's given their life to Jesus Christ, they'll tell you that this new life in Jesus has changed it all. You see, because there will be evidences. There will be new things. There will be new desires. Desires that we never had before. All of a sudden, we're desiring to help people and to love people and to serve and to give and to go and these desires that we've never experienced before. But all of a sudden, new life brings a change in us. Evidence is like new direction. I was going one way. I was running with this crowd. And now all of a sudden, I don't even want to be around them. I need something new. I need something fresh. Why? Because I've been changed. Because new life changed everything. And then all of a sudden, we'll start talking to people we used to know. And they'll say things like this. Who are you? What happened to you? You don't talk like you used to. Matter of fact, you don't act like you used to. I don't even really like being around you now because you've completely changed. And you say, yeah, that's because I have a new identity. We might not always know how to express that at first, especially right after we get saved. Well, once we grow and we realize we're like, you know what, the reason we don't hang out anymore is because I'm different, because I'm changed, because this new life has brought about change in my life. I want to remind us here this morning, church, that it's not perfection, but it's transformation. New life changes everything and it brings about this transformation in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, all who are in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul writing here to the church of Galatia, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul says, I was one way, but now I'm another way. New life changed everything for me. And those of you who know the story of Paul, and you've studied the story of Paul, you know what his life was like. You remember what he was about. His whole life was breathing out threatenings and trying to persecute and take in the Christians and annihilate them, to completely squelch them out. That was his life. And then Jesus showed up and everything changed. His name changed, his life changed, his friends changed, his identity changed, and that's what he's saying here. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen to Jesus' words here. I came to change everything. I came to give you life. And I came to give you a life more abundant. He came to give us life. And he came to give us life more abundant. If you bear with me this morning, I want to give you one more illustration to try to demonstrate what we've read here already this morning. There's times when you walk into a dark room. You walk into that room completely black. Matter of fact, I just did it yesterday. If any of you have ever walked into this sanctuary when there's no lights on in here and there's some darkening over the windows and things to not mess with the lighting and all of that, it's dark in here. It's dark when you come in. And unfortunately, well, there's not a light switch right next to the door, so you got to walk a little ways. But I needed to make my way down this side of the sanctuary into that back hallway. And I've done this enough that I know, all right, there's a welcome center. There's a welcome center table. There's some chairs there. And I got about 3 to 4 feet to shimmy my way through there in the dark and not go crashing to the floor. And so I walked through there, and I went a little further to the left than I wanted to, and I bumped into the chairs. And I moved over to the right, and I ended up bumping into the corner of the welcome center. And finally, I make it around there, and I'm just feeling my way down the wall until I reach the end of the panels, and I'm like, all right, I'm here. And then I'm fumbling all around for the light switch. But then I want to tell you something. In an instant, everything changed. In an instant, everything changed. All the fumbling, all the stumbling, all of the just searching through the dark and bumping into things and making my way around things, all of that changed the instant I flicked that light switch. Listen, the room didn't like gradually become light. No, light entered in and everything changed. I hope y'all are picking up what I'm putting down here this morning. Light entered in and everything changed. When Jesus brings this light, when Jesus brings life, he doesn't just improve the darkness. He doesn't just make it a little bit better. He is the light that changes everything. And he says, now go shine that light. Go exemplify this light. Go be these image bearers. That is what he does. He changes everything. Everything. So here's the question this morning. If Jesus brings life, then maybe some are still wondering, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me? I want to tell you that if Jesus brings life, well, it's not just you showing up here on an Easter morning. It's not that maybe some of you young people, maybe you're thinking, well, Jesus brought life. So some of you younger people in this room are thinking, well, I'm raised in a Christian home, in a Christian school. So a Christian church, maybe that's what it means, that I'm being raised. And some are here and still struggling with the idea of, well, I need to try harder because that list that you read there in Ephesians, well, that's still kind of, feels like it's my life. Like I still get caught up in the lust of the flesh, and I still kind of run after the things that are against God and not the things for him. So if Jesus brings life, what does it mean? Here this morning, and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we shared that good news this morning, but what it means is means repentance. It means turning from our sin. And he's saying, you, the life, the light giver, I'm turning from everything, and I want to receive your light instant. I want you to change my life. It means we are wholeheartedly turning from our sins and saying, God, I'm giving my whole heart to you. I am trusting in you alone as the life giver, and I want this life that we read about a while ago. This says it's a life more abundant. In John chapter 11, there is an amazing story. And I don't have time to read it this morning. But I do challenge you to go back and read this story. It is a tremendous, tremendous story. But essentially, Jesus went down to a different city to meet a dead man in a tomb. He said, meet a dead man. Yeah, he went down there to meet a dead man. He said, how do you meet a dead man? They're dead. Well, it's Jesus. And he had a plan. And he had an idea that no one else understood. The women there, his sisters there were saying, no, this ain't going to work. You better not break that seal on that tomb because that dude is stanky. He is not okay. It's going to be bad, Jesus. Do not open that tomb. And I think there's sometimes as Christians that we start doing that. We start writing people off. We say, no, not that person. Or maybe we've wrote ourselves off and said, no, Jesus, there's no way you're cracking open my tomb. There's no way you're coming for me. There's no way you're calling my name. But listen, this is what Jesus did because this man's name was Lazarus. If you read the Bible and you read this story here in John chapter 11, and Jesus comes up to this tomb, he says, break the seal, open the door. And then he says three words. Lazarus, come forth. And he does. The dead man gets up. He gets up and he walks out of the grave still wearing his grave clothes. He's still wearing his grave clothes and he walks out of that tomb. But he's alive. He's alive. The only thing is, he's still wrapped up in some things that defined him the way he was before. He looks like a dead man. He's wrapped up in those grave clothes. And then Jesus says a few more words. He says, loose him and let him go. So they do. They go over there and the grave clothes come off. And Lazarus is made alive and truly free. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but Jesus does, and he can absolutely change everything. You might be standing on the very edge of life. You know what? That grave door might be opened, and Jesus might be calling your name here this morning. You know what? There might be some in this room this morning that Jesus has been calling your name for a while. And you've been suppressing anything. Man, Jesus, not me. I'm too bad. I have too much stuff. I have too many things going on. And I can't, God. You don't know the evil that I've committed. You don't know the wrong that I've done. Well, yes, he does. He knows it all and he can cover it all. It's already covered. All you have to do is trust in him. Maybe there's some of you here hearing this for the first time this morning. And Jesus is already calling your name, saying, hey, I'm here to bring you back to life. And maybe there's some Christians here this morning. You know you're saved. You know you've repented. You've turned from your sins. You've placed your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And by grace through faith, are you saved? You know all of these things. But somewhere along the way, you started picking up some of them old grave clothes. And you started putting them back on you. And all of a sudden, it's not looking the same. It doesn't feel the same. It feels a little bit like it was before, the way it says you used to be like these children of wrath. You used to be like that. You know what? I'm starting to feel like some of these children of wrath. You put on some of those grave clothes. Well, I want to encourage you. Jesus is calling your name too. Jesus is saying, throw off those clothes, throw off that sin, throw off that shame, throw off that fear, throw off that pride. This Easter, this Resurrection Sunday, it's not just Jesus standing at the grave saying, hey, you in there, try harder, figure it out. No, it's him calling your name, giving you the power to walk out of that grave, giving you the power to shed off, loose those grave clothes, loose those things and be gone with them. Let those things be out of your life. Listen, the stone didn't just roll away from Jesus's tomb. It rolled away from yours and mine as well. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day of life. If you've been walking through some things and you're feeling a little bit dead, you feel like you got those grave clothes on, Jesus is here saying, come alive again. I do want to encourage you with one last thing, and that is, I've said it throughout this, but I want to make it clear. Dead things don't raise themselves. We use some simple examples with a cell phone. Dead things don't raise themselves. But when Jesus speaks, death doesn't stand a chance. Doesn't stand a chance. And that's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Him coming to give life. Bringing things that were dead alive. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be here and be in your word for just a few moments. We thank you for what's going to come after this service, with us being able to prayerfully spend time with family and friends. And we thank you for what you've done and how much you loved us to send your son to die for us. We also thank you for the fact that he didn't stay dead. We don't have to have this thought in our mind, is he really a God if he stays dead? No, but he's alive. And his desire, your desire, is that all men would be saved, that all men would come to life as well, that all men would be resurrected in the name of Jesus Christ. And so God, I pray this morning, if there's someone here and maybe they're hearing this good news for the first time, and maybe you are calling their name this morning, I pray that they would answer that call. I also pray for those who are here that no doubt, God, you've been calling their name for a while. You've been calling them by name. Just like you said, Lazarus, come forth. You've been replacing Lazarus with their name, saying, come forth. It's time this morning. It's time. This is the day of life if you will choose Jesus Christ. And God, there's also some of us in this room who've said, well, I'll go put some of those grave clothes back on. Just kind of been picking them up along the way as we've been trying to navigate this messy world. And he's calling our name this morning as well. Loose those things. Jeffrey, loose those things from you. Remove those things from you and follow after me. Be made alive again, because sin brings death. God, I pray that you would bless now as we have this time of invitation, and just continue to work and move here in our church in a mighty way. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. You'll stand with us this morning. The altar's open. You may come.
Thank you again for listening to our podcast. If you would like to learn more about Trinity Baptist Temple or join us for our weekly services, visit our website at tbtchurch.org. You can also catch our weekly services live on Facebook and our YouTube channel. We hope to see you again very soon. Bye.